Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Penny Eiler, a member of the program committee. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and an open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, or family structure. We welcome you no matter your age, your abilities, or your inabilities. Later in the service, we will invite visitors and guests and returning friends to introduce yourselves so that we might get to know you better. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services. They are presented either by a Prairie member, a member of the wider community, or by our minister, Sandra Ingram. Today, Karen Bringelson and Joan Durst from Moses and the 11 by 15 project will be presenting. Our presenter today, as a member of James Reeb UU congregation since 97, Karen Bringelson was first introduced to UU in high school, where the UU Church in Lincoln, Nebraska opened its door for Karen's Youth for a Nuclear Freeze group. Besides being an active member at Reeb and in social justice movements, Karen works as a librarian at teachingbooks.net with Prairie member Susan Hare Hoyman. Yes, and welcome, Karen.
It's such a pleasure to be here at our sister congregation across town. Over at Reeb this morning, they are blessing the animals. We have a water communion, and some of that water from our water communion earlier this fall will be used to bless pictures and live beings, I understand. So I'm missing that, but I am so glad to be amongst Unitarian Universalists, sisters and brothers and family members here. There is a song in our hymnal that goes, circle round for freedom, circle round for peace, for all of those imprisoned, circle for release. And I believe we are connected not only to our own imprisonment and our own places of tightness in our lives, but we are connected to those people who are physically in prison. And today, Joan and I hope to share with you some of our work in this desire to stay connected to people in prison and change the criminal justice system for the better. One of the Unitarian Universalist principles, we believe in justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Is clearly part of the work that Joan and I are part of as we work with Moses and Wisdom in the 11 by 15 campaign, which we will talk to you about today. There are two specific Unitarian Universalist kind of connections to this work. First of all, I recently learned that the Unitarian Universalist Association, our larger denomination, is having a common read this year. And it is called, the book that everyone is invited to read and discuss in their congregations is called The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness by Michelle Alexander. So that's a connection to our prison ministry and prison reform that y'all might want to be aware of and maybe take some opportunities here at Reeb to explore together. The other connection is something also I've learned recently, that in 2005, so that would be 7 years ago now, the Unitarian Universalist General Assembly passed a statement of conscience. And that is on the UUA.org website. And the statement of conscience is about criminal justice and prison reform. So when we're talking about the campaign that Joan and I will share with you, we're really talking about a Unitarian Universalist value and something that we care deeply about as UUs, something that we see a need to reform, and I believe we are here to do that work. The other kind of exciting piece, besides the fact that Unitarian Universalists are already engaged in these projects, is that when I went to District Assembly this past spring, was it in March, April? Does anyone remember? It was in Chicagoland, and one of the things that was mentioned was that so much justice work within Unitarian Universalist congregations is actually done in conjunction with other congregations in an interfaith way. So we're crossing boundaries to come together and bring our voices into a place of power and to be heard around issues of justice and equity and compassion. And here in Madison, we have that opportunity as well. So I'm gonna let Joan come up. She is one of my co-presenters. She is also a part of MOSES and part of the interfaith work that we do. So I want her to come introduce herself, and then we'll talk a little bit more. Yes. Can you make the screen go down?
Okay, so I am delighted to be here, and I thought I would be delighted to be here, but even more so having heard Karen's talking about the values of UU, because one thing I didn't introduce at the beginning is I'm a Dominican sister, and in our mission statement, we talk about justice and working to build a holy and just society with others. So it really fits. And you may also be aware that it's Dominican sisters who started Edgewood College. So I'm going to refer to that a little later too. But first, I want to show that poem, if you wouldn't mind. So one thing I got to do in that connecting kind of way this summer was to go when Joanna Macy was here. She's in the Buddhist tradition. And so I happened to pick up this book this morning, which I've been going through very, very slowly. And so is it on the poem now? Okay, so this poem of Joanna's caught my mind, and I think it speaks to what Karen said a while ago. When you act on behalf of something greater than yourself, you begin to feel it acting through you with a power that is greater than your own. This is grace. Then she goes on some other things. Her vision is that we need to have a vision. We can talk about a vision as that the world is falling apart, or we can talk about a vision is that the world, we're in a moment when the world is turning. And we can choose which part, we can choose which story we will claim. Do we want to say everything's a big mess and so it's all falling apart? Well, and there's a third one is, well, it's that way, but it's always been that way and it always will be, so let's just go on, things as usual. Or we can realize that the way things are now are indicating a great turning, and we can choose to be part of that. And so then she goes on in the poem, which is up there. If we practice drawing on the wisdom and beauty and strengths of our fellow human beings and our fellow species, we can go into any situation and trust that the courage and intelligence required will be supplied. So here I am today in front of the UUs, a Dominican sister. I'm very proud of being, I wasn't one of the nuns on the bus, but I'm very proud of them. And it reminds me too of, I grew up in Madison, the East Side, and then I went away to become a Dominican, and I got to see the world in a way. Spent a lot of the world in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where where perhaps I first had this warm relationship with UUs through All Souls Unitarian. There was a couple there who became very strong leaders in a group which I joined called Results. And the purpose was to end hunger and poverty in the world. We did a lot of lobbying in that group. But anyway, that was and then another connection with what we're saying today and Tulsa was that we had a group there called Tulsa Metropolitan Ministry. And it had happened way before I got there, but it brought together Jews, Muslims, Christians. I don't know if we ever got to the Buddhists there, but you know, we were trying to be open to everybody. And the Unitarians, of course, were important in that method too. And so we were able to do things together that might not have happened if we just had each done our own thing. So like there wasn't a jail ministry. And so this group took it on. And so each congregation that wanted to have people go to the jails, that was all organized. There wasn't a place for people to go who were homeless during the day. So we started the day shelter for the homeless. Even Meals on Wheels. There were no Meals on Wheels at that time. And so they start. So on and on, what we can do as we join together. And so what I'm learning, coming back to my hometown, I've only been back for 4 years, is that Moses, which is starting now, so this is where at the beginning, is trying to bring us together to do those same kinds of things, okay? And maybe beyond that. And, okay, then the other thing I wanted to mention, this is the connection to me, the Dominican, and to Edgewood. There is a sister there who's a sociologist. She's now emeritus. Her name is Sister Esther Heffernan. I'm seeing some nods, okay. And so for a long, long time, a lot of her study had to do with what happens, especially with women in prison. And in 1998, a group grew, and I think around her, I don't know exactly the moment, but they started out of Edgewood, and they decided to do a statewide conference on prisons. And yesterday I happened to be at the meeting of the group that grew out of that called MEP, Money, Education, and Prisons. And they read from their first minutes in which they said they wanted to form this group in order to call attention to prisons in Wisconsin and the relationship of prisons to poverty and racism. That was 1998. Yesterday, this same group called MEP decided to disband, but not in a sad way, but in a way that would open the way to the future and to new things, and a realization that now, in 1998, hardly anyone was talking about this. In 2012, we have groups like Wisdom, which is a statewide organization of many people, many groups, many churches. It doesn't have to be churches, though. There are others who belong to this, who are not only talking about our prisons and the sorry state we're in, but working together to do something about it. And that's what our talk is about. So, ta-da! After all those introductions and connections, we go on.
So we are working with a PowerPoint that has no, how do you say, long distance ability to click it. So I'm going to be walking around with, do you want to? Sure, that'd be great, Lynn, thanks. I first heard about the 11 by 15 project because I work at Teaching Books, and in our office there I had a new neighbor called Voices Beyond Bars, which is a organization that works with folks who are getting out of prisons, formerly incarcerated individuals, and helps them get their life in order the way they want it to be. And by learning from these, my new neighbors, I got to hear about the 11 by 15 project. I'm like, 11 by 15? What is that? And so the 11 is 11,000 people. That's half of the prison population. We're trying to cut the Wisconsin prison population in half by the year 2015. So that's the 15 part, 11 by 15. 11 by 15 is a project of Moses. Moses is yet to be officially sanctioned or officially
launched.
And that is happening the day after a big thing going on here. It's happening Sunday, November 18th, from 4 to 6 p.m. Yes.
So what's Moses? I don't understand.
So Moses, there are little brochures that some of you have nearby. Moses is an affiliate of a group called Wisdom. It's a interfaith, interdenominational group that's working on the project of the 11 by 15 campaign. It is designed to be based in, it's designed to seek justice with multiple congregations, and the first issue or campaign that it's taking on is this 11 by 15 campaign. Moses is one of a number of affiliates, which are listed in your brochure, that are from all over Wisconsin. So it is, we have folks in Milwaukee and folks in Wausau and folks in Green Bay and folks all over who are also working to reduce the Wisconsin prison population. Can you hit that? Moses is the Dane County branch.
We didn't have a Wisdom organization until just now that there's been work being done to gather the congregations, especially, and Voices Beyond Bars actually is a member also, to form a united front for Dane County.
So you see what 11 by 15 is. We're trying to transform the lives of people who can get out of prison. We're trying to transform our communities so they feel safer and healthier. And we're actually trying to transform the Wisconsin's the whole state criminal justice system.
You laugh.
Hey,
it's, you know, it's been started and we're just continuing.
Do you want to do this one?
Well, okay. So you laughed in your readings in your bulletin. Say really what this says. You already know all this. It doesn't work, does it?
No.
I think about a lot of the people in prison today are there as a result of the drug wars. That's what Michelle talks about in her book. I got to hear her last year in Wheeling. It was in Illinois somewhere we went. And she's a mark. If you ever get a chance to hear her, and also if you go online and put in Michelle Alexander, there's a lot of presentations by her. One of the things that she talks about there is that in the 1970s, we were all concerned about drugs. We still are. That's the sad part. Drugs take over people's lives and they injure all of us. And so the president at that time, Ronald Reagan, said, let's have this war on drugs. And we probably all said, well, that's probably a good idea. Let's do it. But now, looking at what happened, is it put all kinds of people in prisons that needed treatment. And so it's ineffective. We aren't any better off. We aren't any safer. We're spending too much money. We've got too many people. We're missing all these people who could be contributing to our society. And as I said before, we'll look at some figures. It's disproportionate for people of color and poor people and mental illness.
So we already kind of touched a little bit on the ways our current system is ineffective, wasteful, and unfair. We're going to talk about some possible solutions, and then we're going to talk about what we can do here and looking forward to a vision of our future together. So you mentioned Ronald Reagan, but we know it's a bipartisan issue. We're in our system because of the choices that both Democrats and Republicans have made. So.
Yeah, here's the slide I wanted you to especially focus on, that on the one on this side, the right side. No, that's your left side. Okay, the other one. Okay. Yeah, the other left. That's right. And so you can see how disproportionate it is for us in Wisconsin. That is just amazing. And when I think about this, I think of the children. I got to be a substitute in one of our public schools this week. I was so moved by the various hues of the children in that school. Every single color of skin that you can imagine was there at Hawthorne Elementary School. Think of, and I don't know what their proportions are, but think of the children in Wisconsin who woke up this morning who have a parent in prison. And you can see the percentage is going to be largely people of color. So what does that do? What does that do to us?
Yeah, it says over half of our prisoners are African American, but only 6.2% of the Wisconsin population is African American. We have seen that corrections in Wisconsin is actually has been an industry, a growth and growing industry. We have 36 adult correctional facilities. We have an operating capacity of 17,590, but our average daily inmate population is 23,000 plus. So we're the cost at Wisconsin. The cost is huge, not just in human lives, but also in funds. $88 a day, or $32,000 a year per inmate. So we do have some community corrections. We also not only have people in the prisons and jails, but also on probation and on parole. So 47,000 and 19,000 for those. And we have in 2010, 2011, we had a corrections budget of $1.3 billion. So probation is part of a sentence. Parole is after you've served some time in prison.
I want to kind of go back to that cost piece too, or we have to keep going, but I wanted to say, because that original group that I talked about, that MEP group, said the irony of all this is we're connecting poverty and prison, but what's vying for having more prisons are our poor Wisconsin communities who want prisons in order to have employment. So it's complex, but I think we all can figure out there are other ways to use those facilities that will still include employment for those small towns in Wisconsin besides prison.
And we want to look at our neighboring state, Minnesota. So in Wisconsin, we have similar populations, 5.6 million and 5.3 million, but over double the prison population. In Wisconsin, we have 22,000, and in Minnesota, they have 9,400. So in Wisconsin, the imprisonment rate is 387.2 versus 177.8. So it doesn't have to do with, I mean, we have a lot of similarities with Minnesota, except when it comes to prisons.
A lot of these figures.
Here's our budget between the states.
Great. And a lot of these comparisons came from a professor at Marquette University. He also, I think it's Ohio is the other one. Again, you can find more of this online.
Drug abuse.
And it is about the money. In Minnesota, my other co-presenter pointed out that if a person gets diverted to drug treatment instead of prison, they give them funding for 9 months, which is effective for treatment. Here, if you are, it's 1 month.
So these are just some quotes about treatment and diversion programs. It effectively diverts nonviolent offenders with substance abuse treatment needs from incarceration, reduces criminal justice system costs. They have positive impacts on individual offenders, communities, and local service systems. And there is a website here down at the bottom right. There's full report of evaluations and things like that, too. These are different types of alternative programs that have been proven effective.
Right. Good. Also in Minnesota, they do a lot more with restorative justice. And so keeping people from even getting to this stage. So there's many. And there's been studies done. We had a person at the Capitol this season who told us about, I think, about four states who in the different things that they're doing to not have prison, but have been effective at reducing their rates.
So we are just trying to imagine, what if counties could triple or quadruple or increase by a factor of 10 the number of people served by these alternative programs? That's a vision we have. And then there are some stories of drug courts saving the lives of people's children, that they're trying to find alternatives for offenders. And also, here's a story from Terry. My conclusion is simple. Everyone like me deserves a chance to change if they're so inclined. The opportunity to change and be accountable is the most fundamental and basic right I have.
Ooh, that goes with the service today, doesn't it? Change.
So we also imagine, what if we could reach 4,000 more people every year and make them less likely to reoffend? What if that number were 8,000?
So you can see the 11 by 15 is doable.
So we're trying to also not just, I think of the human capital kind of imprisoned in our prisons right now, but there's also the money capital and trying to save money by if counties could earn $15,000 from the state for alternative programs every time they send someone to a program, that saves the state $30,000 by keeping them out of the state prison system. Wow. And counties could tap into a $75 million state pool of money to expand or create alternatives that could ultimately save the state $300 million. Wow. So there's a lot of financial, even if you don't believe that that there's human capital imprisoned in our system, there's certainly money reasons to do this, make these changes too. The same thing, you guys get the idea. We could save a lot of money.
Schools being a really important place to put our money,
says,
right?
You have a button that says schools, not prison. So that's a whole nother program, I would think.
To
and
some
I think
degree.
Voices Beyond Bars does, and the Urban League and Madison Urban Ministries, they are all working with folks who are coming out of prisons in terms of, so what we have a question for you about what can you do, and we have also an answer for you, and that is, consider joining Moses. You can join Moses as an individual. If you, as a congregation, decide to join Moses, I'm assuming there's some sort of process. At least at REEB, we went through some education, and the board voted, and we had to put forward a statement of conscience for the congregation to consider to support the work that Moses is doing. And we are happy to talk with you after service about what that would entail. But for the time being, we are hoping that you as individuals will sign up to help with this 11 by 15 project, which is the first of issues to come, but it's the one that Moses is working on now. And there's different ways that you can commit. You can commit to saying, yes, put me in the press release. I'm one of thousands of people across Wisconsin that finds this very, very, very important. You can commit by giving money. You can commit by attending rallies. You can commit by saying, my Kiwanis Club folks should hear this too. We are happy to talk to other groups and spread the word, because we think this is an issue that's not just timely, but so important to our, at least to my work as a Unitarian Universalist in this world. So we want to do some discussion. We've been doing some discussion back and forth, but I know I'm supposed to do some official discussion too. So.
If our website isn't on there, I think, but there's a really great website for this project. I think it's not listed there, except you're going to be handing those in, hopefully. But it's Pray for Justice in Wisconsin. And I think, is it on the Moses one? Yes. So I know you like more information, and that site is really great.
First, I just wanted to say, as I mentioned earlier, I'm in a book club, and we just talk about books that we've been reading that we enjoy. And one member said that this book, The New Jim Crow, is the only book that she'll be talking about. And I didn't have the mic before, but the author will be in town. It's either March 7th or 9th on the UW campus. And when she talked about this, she said, the book was so riveting, but both the Republicans, the Democrats, no one's doing anything about it. Who is going to be the voice of what needs to be done? So I'm very pleased to hear that there is an effort to do that, and I'll be sharing this form with her. And then second of all, someone had asked a question about prisoners when they're in prison. What is being done to help them gain the skill set or tackle the issues that they have that are preventing them from being a healthy member of the community? And in the mid-90s, I was working on my master's in public administration in Washington, D.C., and as part of that, I worked for the Office of Public Affairs for the Federal Bureau of Prisons. And part of my job and part of my research looked at the prison industry, both the government and the private sector that has been growing. And the thing that struck me the most, that I think a lot of people don't understand, and you even alluded to in here, is the mission statement of those organizations. And at least for the Federal Bureau of Prisons, it was to warehouse humans. There is no current initiative, at least in the federal system, or I should say, as of the 90s when I was there, and I assume it's the same probably in the state as well, that we are not putting the funds or the mission into rehabilitating folks so that they can come out and be productive members of a society. It is simply to warehouse them. And I know that strikes people very starkly when they hear that. So thank you for speaking to this issue.
And down there, you know, this presentation that we didn't have to make up these slides. That came to us through wisdom. So really, you know, other people here, I'm sure you're good presenters too. I mean, we aren't the top of the heap by any means. So anyone here who has a group and wants to know how to do this, it's not that difficult.
And I think that Penny wants us to move on, but let's keep talking after service.
Yes.
And you, at that time when we're talking, you can give me your commitment sheets. You can turn those in today, and we'll make sure they get to the right place. Thank you so much for having us.
At this time, Ruth Calden will share our closing words with us.
This is by Jerry Brown. Prisons don't rehabilitate, they don't punish, they don't protect. So what the hell do they do?
Thank you for coming. Please extend a hand of friendship to those around you and join us for coffee and conversation.